Welcome back. This is Sight to the Blonde podcast. There's no music because, like the title of this episode, it's going to be fire. It's going to be fire because, one, this is going to be the last show that I'm going to do for the next 3 weeks. I need a break. I really do. I get sick and tired watching human nature, especially when you wake up, you're trying to be humble, you try to not to forget that you were once in the dark. You were once stumbling in the dark, blind, and not knowing what was going on. But once you awaken, you're a different person. Like scripture says, you can't turn back. Any man who turns back is not fit for the kingdom. I'm getting sick and tired of watching women twerking in public. I get sick and tired of women wearing those high school wrestling outfits with bonnets on their heads, getting on top of cars and twerking. I'm tired of black men fighting each other in the streets, in the ring, anywhere. I'm getting tired of it. I gotta sit and watch human nature get dumber and dumber. I completely understand now why Enoch withdrew himself from public view. I completely understand why Enoch did that, why he became a recluse. I don't see, I feel sorry for most of you because you got to go to work every single day and be around these people. It's not even like I'm searching for it. If I'm looking for new information, I got to go to Instagram, I got to go to Twitter, and I got to go to Reddit. All three of those apps have people being completely foolish and stupid. Then I got to sit and watch psyops after psyop, a ritual after a ritual. I got to watch some New York politician create a false flag of another man get up there to grab his mic and tell him you're done. And everybody going around, oh, he was threatened with a blade. But if you actually looked in that man's hand, he had one of those female self-defense cat-whiskered, cat-eared brass rings. You put two fingers in, it's like two sharp points, and it's connected to your keys. Everything is happening so fast and clumsy and messy that I get tired of watching it. Monkeypox, it was a West African thing. Now it's a European, American, and Canadian thing. Like I said before, these curses are turning back on this stupid nation. And all these other nations that had anything to do with the transatlantic slave trade. This is not done for any other nation but us. Monkeypox was big in Africa. All of a sudden, you didn't hear nothing of it for the next 20 or 30 years. All of a sudden, 2019 come around. They have already produced a vaccine for it. You're going to hear about the Bavarian Nordic vaccine. I'm going to post the information later. But you're going to hear about that. You're going to hear about this vaccine company that has ties with the WEF. And the WHO is in cahoots with WEF. They have already did a tabletop It was a tabletop run through where they do, they practice pandemics, just like Event 201. They practice this specific pandemic with the monkeypox. They already practice it where the WHO was going to come out, make a statement, like the guy already made a statement already. And they said these monkeypox strains were going to mutate. So guess what? We're going back into lockdowns. It's only been a couple of hundred. But in the next 2 or 3 years, there's going to be more lockdowns. They're going to strip away more of your medical rights, your privacy rights. And if you go through the numbers, as I've gone through the numbers on JermontTornado.com, all I see is 33. I get tired of seeing that damn number. 33, 33, 33, 33. I see that number so damn much. Every time I open my phone, I open my phone up to whatever time it is, with the minutes being 33. So I need a break from this for a little bit. Every year, there's always the same stories. Every year, the same stories. Memorial Day weekend, oh, people having a hard time getting back home. Flights are canceled. 4th of July, people have a hard time getting back home. Christmas, people, the flights are canceled and people are having a hard time getting home. Every year it's the same story. Every year, without fail. The same thing with the summer. It gets hot every summer. Every summer the heat gets hotter. Every summer. People are like, are already indoctrinated with MK Ultra programming. You don't need to be like Bucky Barnes sitting in a seat and having to be in electroshock therapy. They don't have to do that anymore. You're already glued to the television sets. You're already indoctrinated. So every time they hear you hear, oh, it's a heat wave. Like this is the first time the heat has gone up to 100. Places that are usually hot, like Texas and the Midwest, is usually hot. Like I said before in the previous episodes, you can, once you awaken up, you can, and when you step back from this calendar, this Gregorian calendar, if you step back off this calendar, you completely see people walk their lives or run their lives in a loop. And I see mainstream media, they run a loop. Everybody's trapped in a loop. Every summer, it's like a new summer heat wave that hits and people swear it's climate change. Ever since I was young, I have never believed that the sun is so damn hot in America that it would cause the forest in California, a place that's not abnormally hot, that would cause fire of random trees in the forest. I never believed that. It never made sense to me. Never. That the sun could be so damn hot that it would cause grass, wood, and trees, and leaves to engulf and burn in flames. But people buy that stupidness. Now, you're going to try to tell me from America to Canada to Australia to now Europe, a place, or like London, a place that has the worst weather of all time. It has never been bright and sunny. A place that has always had overcast weather. You're going to tell me that the sun all of a sudden gets so hot that grass is starting to burn and burning buildings. Make it make sense. How does the sun burn up buildings? I'm not talking about singe buildings. I'm talking about they burning whole buildings. No one ever looks at what buildings that they were going up in smoke. No one ever looks up after the vegetation has been burnt away. No one goes back and see what else is going on in there. How do you not know they ain't clearing the forest to build stuff? How do you not know that they're using this climate change to burn down buildings to take the insurance money? How do you not know this? People legit believe that the sun is so hot that it can burn trees. It can burn buildings. Africa, one of the hottest continents in this world, has not having nothing burnt down. Nothing has been singed. I haven't seen not one building in hot-ass Africa ever touched by heat. But America, Canada, Europe, Australia get brush fires, get heat waves. Most information is so simplistic, it's staring you in the face. I could take a match and walk into Yosemite and set it on fire and let it blow. I could do that. Anybody can go into a forest or go burn up a building. That's what you think arson is. Anybody can do that. It should be common sense. But people don't think the way the enemy think. Oh, la-da-da-da-da. People would never hurt me. They give me medicine. They will never, they give me medicine and food. They will never contaminate it. They love me. People walk this earth and walk this world every single day thinking the people who are in control of this world looks out for their well-being. Then they fight against people who are trying to wake them up. That's a different type of cognitive dissonance. I never understood that term until I actually listened and watched and read what people think and how they think. Sometimes I want to chime in and go to like the political part of social media. But that's just as dumb as the people who twerk in the street. At least people who twerk in the street don't talk. All these political pundits, all these political advocates on Twitter every single day talking about Trump, talking about Biden, talking about two Freemasons, talking about the same wings on the same damn trifling bird. Every single day, it's a new narrative that they follow. Every single day. Then they throw religion in it. Let's throw Christianity in it. Let's throw the Bible in it. And that don't even last long. They don't even use scripture. They don't even use verses. Oh, the Bible said this. Oh, the Bible said that. I seen a video of female pastors in their respective churches talking about, oh, please protect women's reproductive rights. Please protect women's rights to choose. Please protect abortion. And they in church doing this. There's only two things I really defend. That's scripture and the Most High. Even though the Most High doesn't need me defending him, that's just what the Ruach HaKodesh does for you. You defend righteousness. I'll get into pregnancies and defending righteousness later in the book of Ezra. I'll go through that later. But you're going to hear, to wrap it, this the part, the first part up, you are going to hear a lot about Bavarian Nordic. If you knew anything about the Bavarian Illuminati and knew anything about what the word Nordic mean, it's all European. It's all Ashkenaz and Edom. Literally, those two nations. And everything filters down. It's like a cancer, a plague. Whole bloodlines. It's a whole bloodline of trash that runs this country and runs this world. When you study enough, when you are awakened enough, you start to understand this. You start to understand it's not a million people. It's literally 500 to 1,000 bloodlines at best that runs this trash world. And no matter what you say, you can't waken people out of it until they meet their own demise, until they come to the end of themselves. That's the only way people are going to wake up. Until they come to the end of their ego and pride, that's when they will truly wake up. And some of them need to have fire tied to their ass in order for them to wake up. Destruction, desolation needs to be at their front door for them to ever wake up. That is the sad part. No matter what you tell them, they need to come to the end of themselves. Now, how fast they come, they do that, depends on how fast they're going. Watching people get on social media talking about, oh, my brother was a Christian pastor. I was a Christian. I did this, and a Christian got this, getting it completely wrong. So you can convince yourself that New Age spirituality, Kundalini, is the place that you need to be. So you induce a whole new following with your quote-unquote transmission into a new religion, which is really occult Satanism for dummies. Making a god of yourself is what Eve was in trouble for. Is what man has been doing this entire time, his time on the planet. It's trying to create a god-like image of himself, where he thinks he's set apart from the rules of the Most High. I can't tell you how many, go through all the leaders that have been humbled and embarrassed trying to do it their way. Nimrod was embarrassed. King Herod was embarrassed. Nebuchadnezzar was embarrassed. All act like they were God kings. Got embarrassed. Pontius Pilate didn't want no smoke. Caught the smoke anyway. Judas, pretending he could hide it, caught smoke anyway. Committed suicide, both of them, him and Pontius. Men had tried to walk this earth and walk these streets with this I am, the great I am mentality, which is what they get it from when Moses spoke to Yahuwah. And Yahuwah said, I am that I am. Tell them I am. So what do Satan do? Get all my puppets to say, I am. Will I am. I am so-and-so on social media. I'm so-and-so on Twitter. I'm so-and-so. You start off with I am. That's where that comes from. Morals and dogma. Albert Pike, 33rd degree Freemason. Read it backwards. It's am God. I am. This type of trifling foolishness is what's sunk in the brains of everybody. It ain't just the wicked. It's the righteous too. Everybody's trying to create a godlike image out of anything they touch. And that comes from being programmed. Social media has programmed a lot of people. Even people who try to tell or speak the truth. I really never got why people post reaction truth videos. If you have a video, then it's just me. If you have a video that has good information in it, you post it. Now people who are trapped in their vanity, their righteousness, now people are posting split screen truth videos with them standing there, rubbing their face, doing their hair, making these odd in facial expressions that don't mean nothing. We don't need to watch you watching the truth video to watch your reaction. Our reactions are supposed to mirror your reactions. So when you show a shock face to a truth, we supposed to have a shock face? If we do the black woman to the truth video, are we supposed to do the same thing you're doing? Why do people do that? If you're not adding anything to the video or to the facts or to the truth, why are we watching your facial reactions to a truth video? Why am I watching split screen truth videos? I don't get it. I understand this world has been caught up in vanity. I get it. Scripture talks about vanity, enjoying the woman of your youth, enjoy the life of vanity, Wisdom of Solomon, he talks on vanity, everything is vanity. I get it, it's in human nature to be vain, I get it. But people are pushing the stone forward and forward and forward right into the devil's hands. Where then you can't hear truth, because now when you post in truth, and you live in your vanity, you live in your self-righteousness. Now when people tell you, hey, you're doing this wrong or you're not doing it the right way, they won't hear it. They can't hear sound knowledge. And I'm talking about the people in the truth. Let's go to 4th Ezra. Chapter 16. I read you last episode. Chapter 15, now I'm going to finish it up with chapter 16. Woe be unto you, Babel and Asia. Woe be unto you, Mizraim, Egypt, and Aram. Gird up yourselves with cloths of sack and hair. Bewail your children, and be sorry for your destruction is at hand. A sword is sent upon you, and who may turn it back? A fire is sent among you, and who may quench it? Plagues are sent unto you, and what is he that may drive them away? May any man drive away a hungry lion in the wood? Or may anyone quench the fire in stubble when it has begun to burn? May one turn again the arrow that is shot of a strong archer? El Yahuwah sends the plagues, and who is he that can drive them away? A fire shall go forth from his wrath, and who is he that may quench it? He shall cast lightnings, and who shall not fear? He shall thunder, who shall not be afraid? Yahuwah shall threaten, and who shall not be utterly beaten to powder at his presence? The earthquakes and the foundations thereof, the sea rises up with the waves from the deep, and the ways of it are troubled, and the fish thereof also, before Yahuwah and before the glory of his power. For strong is his right hand that bends the bow. His arrows that he shoots are sharp and shall not miss when they begin to be shot into the ends of the world. Behold, the plagues are sent and shall not return again until they come upon the earth. The fire is kindled and shall not be put out till it is consumed the foundation of the earth. Like as an arrow which is shot of a mighty archer returns not backward, even so the plagues that shall be sent again upon earth shall not return again. Woe is me! Woe is me! Who will deliver me in those days? The beginning of sorrows and great mournings, the beginning of famine and great death, the beginning of wars, and the powers shall stand in fear. The beginning of evils, what shall I do when these evils shall come? Behold, famine and plague, tribulation and anguish are sent as scourges for amendment. But for all these things, they shall not turn from their wickedness, nor be always mindful of the scourges. Like I said, people are going to be so trapped in their self-righteousness and their own vanity and their vanity when it comes to wickedness, they're not going to want to turn back. Like I said before, to come to the end of yourself, you really need to be traveling almost 100 miles per hour to quickly come to the end of yourself. Now, when you're coasting along, when you have it on cruise control and you haven't really been threatened, if you really have never been challenged because you are a reprobate, because you have been given over to your lusts, and you'll give it over to your vanity, you think you cool. You think you're fine. Oh, I've been doing this for like the last 4 or 5 years. I haven't got punished yet. Now, when I say 100 miles per hour, that means you have to be putting sin on top of sin, on top of sin, wickedness on top of it. Your whole household must be filled with wickedness in order for you to come to the end of yourself and see the good. Not everybody has to do this, but I'm telling you, I'm talking about the most extreme examples. But when you go on cruise control, you going 50 miles per hour, you sampling a little bit of wickedness and you pull back. You sampling a little bit of vanity and then you pull back. You sampling disobeying the Torah and pulling back. You're doing it a little bit at a time, so you thinking, oh, I'm good. I'm my own God. I follow my own rules. My righteousness isn't in Yahuwah. The righteousness is in me. I can control my punishment, my scourges. And that's what people are going to be thinking all the way down until you get caught. Even going 50 miles per hour, if you hit a brick wall that you don't see, it won't hurt as much, but it'll still hurt. Behold, victuals shall be so good, cheap upon the earth, that they shall think themselves to be in good case, and even then shall evils grow upon earth, sword, famine, and great confusion. So death, disease, in great confusion, as far as you don't know what's going on. And that's for people outside of this truth. So when you study, when you become bilingual, and this is what is necessary for you to actually accomplish a great awakening, is to be bilingual. To use their language against them. Before, I didn't even want to have nothing to do with gematria. Literally, when people brought it up, I couldn't understand it either. But I wanted to know. It's that spirit in you that wants to know, that wants to learn. So once you master symbolism, then you master gematria, then you master scripture, you put those three things together, you should never be confused. You should be able to see it before they even come with this Masonic 33, the 666, and sixes and threes. Before they even start to do that, you should already expect what they're going to do. They're very predictable. They can't change their spiritual rules now. Even though they've been found out, they can't change it. They can't switch the number from 666 to 777. They can't go from 33 to 55. They can't do that. They stuck. And what they're trying to do now is try to slow down the information process. Since they own the Wi-Fi, since they own the social media apps, they can slow down what people find out. I don't know why they don't have the power to delete, but as right now, they have the power to slow it down. They haven't slowed it down to just one person viewing it. They slow it down to a couple of thousand, which is fine. It's fine. I was up in arms about it. I was pissed off about it. I'm fine with it now. So be it. People don't find out, they don't find out. But that's all Yahoo is doing. Not everybody's supposed to know, and I'm going to get through that later. For many of them that dwell upon the earth shall perish of famine, and the other that escape the hunger shall the sword destroy. So people who are going to be evicted in the next 2 or 3 years are going to go hungry. People who escape the famine, escape vaccines, were smart enough to escape the jab, still are going to fall into torment because it's destined for some people to fall into torments. The bill is due. That's why I stressed. You better start repenting for your bloodline. You better start there when it comes to these prayers, when it comes to this awakening, when it comes to turning back to the Most High. You start with your bloodline. You don't know what your bloodline did. Just like I, at the time where I was going through curses or the time I was in darkness, I didn't know what my bloodline was capable of until I understood it. Then me, for my generation, I put it all on my chest. I put it all on my back. What my forefathers and my ancestors have done that pissed off Yahuwah. I put that on me. So the generational curses stop with me. So I can go forward. A lot of you, it happened some time ago. I had nothing to do with it. This is the nations outside of the Israelites. The Gentiles. Because a lot of you, when you get into these online arguments, and you only raise your head when it comes to slavery. Oh, everybody was a slave. Asians were slaves. White people were slaves. The Greeks were slaves. The Romans were slaves. Russians were slaves. Jews were slaves. Everybody was slaves. What's the big deal? I'm supposed to live in the past? Blah, 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 blah. There's pride in your ego. Try not to be accountable for the atrocities in your bloodline. So those are the same atrocities that you don't think are going to matter. It's going to be the same ones that's going to come and bite you on your ass at the end. If I were you, I would start repenting for the things that have happened in my bloodline, whether you know or don't know. And the dead shall be cast out as dung, and there shall be no man to comfort them. For the earth shall be wasted, and the cities shall be cast down. There shall be no man left to till the earth and to sow it. There shall be no man left to till the earth and to sow it. The trees shall give fruit, and who shall gather them? The grapes shall ripen, who shall tread them? For all places shall be desolate of men, so that one man shall desire to see another and to hear his voice. For of a city there shall be 10 left and 2 in the field, which shall hide themselves in the thick groves and in the clefts of the rocks. As in an orchard of olives upon every tree, there are left 3 or 4 olives. Or as when a vineyard is gathered, there are left some clusters of them that diligently seek through the vineyard. Even so in those days, there shall be 3 or 4 left by them that search their houses with the sword. And the earth shall be laid waste, and the fields thereof shall wax old, and her ways, all her paths, shall grow full of thorns, because no man shall travel therethrough. When I think of that verse, I think of I Am Legend. When there was nobody in New York, the grass was growing in the street, the animals were running through the city, cars was rusted over, all the foliage was all over the buildings. That's what I picture when I picture that verse. In the wars shall their bridegrooms be destroyed, and their men shall perish of famine. Hear now these things and understand them, ye servants of Yahuwah. Behold, the word of Yahuwah, receive it. Believe not the Elohim of whom Yahuwah spoke. Who is the Elohim of Yahuwah spoke? The Antichrist, Satan. Men who wanted to be like the Most High. Behold, the plagues draw nigh and are not slack. As when a woman with child in the 9th month brings forth her son, with 2 or 3 hours of her birth, great pains cumbers her womb, which pains when the child comes forth, they slack not a moment. I love finding out in the scripture. This is why I love the Sefer app. If you go to the Sefer app and type in women in travail, look at all of the metaphors that is used in scripture. You look up all the metaphors that they use as when they talk about the coming destruction, the coming desolation, the coming of the wicked one, the coming of judgment and wrath and fire. They always use the pains of pregnancy. Now, this is the psychological part that Satan plays on women. Because it was the serpent who fooled the woman. Is to now fear the inevitable. So it's kind of like a rebellion against the Most High. Not just abortion, but the fact that women think, or people think, they can dodge judgment. Now, if the Most High talks of or likens the pains of this world coming to an end with the pains of pregnancy, what is Satan doing right now to women? Hyping them up. Hyping them up to not want to go through a pregnancy. Hyping them up to never go through 9 months of pain. Hyping them up to think that I have power like a God to stop judgment, to stop these pains forever encompassing me. That is the trick that he's pulling on women right now. That is the trick of feminism. Giving birth and menstrual cramps was to remind you, women, that it was you who hearkened to the serpent. It was you who wanted to be having your eyes open like a god. It was you who was in search of something greater than your rib, greater than your man. It was you who was tricked into being butt-ass naked and calling it empowerment. It was you who desired to speak to the manager when you were inconvenienced a little bit. It was you who believed in feminism, started by men in dresses. It was you. It wasn't man. It wasn't Adam. So what right now Satan is trying to get you to believe that you have the power, like Yah, to stop the coming judgment. That's why it's the I love the beautiful part of this is them liking the pains and the coming of judgment like a pregnancy. The pregnancy, most of women now are trying to avoid with abortion. You think you're going to abort the wrath of Yah. Oh, my people, hear my word. Make you ready to your battle. And in those evils, be even as pilgrims upon the earth. He that sells, let him be as he that flees away. And he that buys, as one that will lose. He that occupies merchandise, as he that has no profit by it. And he that builds, as he that shall not dwell therein. He that sows, as if he should not reap, so also he that plants the vineyard, as he that shall not gather the grapes. No matter what you do, if you're going out, like most of you are trying to come to this truth and rustle up some friends and go buy land, it ain't going to work for you. Land's going to be destroyed anyway. Some of you are trying to hide in Bitcoin. You seeing it topple. It's going to be destroyed anyway. And therefore, they that labor in vain. For strangers shall reap their fruits and spoil their goods, overthrow their houses, and take their children captives. For in captivity and famine shall they get children. And they that occupy their merchandise with robbery, the more they deck their cities, their houses, their possessions, and their own persons, the more will I be angry with them for their sins, says Yahuwah. What do you see now? You're seeing a lot of smash and grabs. I've seen women walk off, legit walk off with Adidas merchandise, and then the people who working at the store are trying to grab the stuff from them, and they literally just walk out saying they need this. No, they can't. Nope, it's mine. And literally get in the car with a bunch of Adidas track suits and shirts, making a trail from the store to the car. Poor thing, I saw a black woman and her child try to steal groceries. And the people caught them and put them on tape, put them on video. This is the reason why I seen this, because I seen it on Reddit. She's screaming up and down, I can't afford this. My children need to eat, with the young child sitting right there. The young boy sitting right there, watching his mother cry, attempting to steal because they haven't eaten, they're hungry. And then the grocery store was nice enough to buy them groceries. But then again, like I said, people don't want to come to the end of themselves. So the whole time, one, it's apparent to me that the father is nowhere to be found. So she picked her partner from lust. What felt good to her at that time, had the child. The man is not providing for the child. So her last attempt was to go steal groceries. And even though these people looked out for him, and maybe Yah is merciful and allowed her to not go to jail that day, but allowed the grocery store clerks to pay for her groceries, that is Yah's long-suffering and mercy and grace when we to the end of things. But I hope, I really do hope that she finds Yah in the end of this. Because women really think at this point, in this juncture, that they can literally walk in anywhere, steal stuff, and say, I deserve to have this. Because why? Because they put their trust in the government. They put their trust in politicians. They put their trust in the boule. They put their trust in whatever Uncle Tom, coon-ass, Greek, or whatever they call themselves, black boule. They put their trust in these people because they're not smart enough to understand and dissect where these organizations come from, because you see a lot of stomping and jumping up and down and barking like dogs. You see that and think, oh, these people must be smart. These are the people they see in the Democratic Party. I must follow them. It seems like they got it together. And they are just puppets. So you put your strength, you put your trust in this false image of a government, this false image of salvation, then get mad when they don't help you. When you get no more stimulus checks. When you get no more handouts. Now you're mad at them, so you think you're deserving of stealing. Like as a whore envies a right, honest, and virtuous woman, so shall righteousness hate iniquity. When she decks herself and shall accuse her to her face, when he comes that shall defend him diligently, searches out every sin upon earth. And therefore, be not like thereunto, nor to the works thereof. For yet little, and iniquity shall be taken away out of the earth, and righteousness shall reign among you. This is what we have to go, this is what we suffer through. Watching people do wickedness, and you've really seen them not really truly get punished for it. But obviously, we're only seeing snapshots and highlights on social media of people being wicked. We don't get the follow-up story. You know, we don't care enough to follow the altercations and the wickedness in these videos to follow if they're actually being judged. So a lot of us think judgment is not going to overtake these people. I get it. You can easily be trapped up in like watching people twerk on top of cars and you just, oh, everybody's being scot-free. Everybody's free to do anything. I don't see anybody being judged. And that's what social media, you know, is the pitfall of that. That's the snare of social media. It's to think everybody can do what they want. But nobody's posting themselves getting judged. No one's posting themselves being reprimanded by the Most High. Because as scripture states, if you are a reprobate, you're going to be handed over to your lust and to your lust destroy themselves, destroy you. Let not the sinner say that he has not sinned, for Elohim shall burn coals of fire upon his head, which says before Yahuwah Elohim in his glory, I have not sinned. Behold, Yahuwah knows all the works of men, their imaginations, their thoughts, and their hearts. He knows it. Regardless if you think that one thought that you thought a while ago, the thought that you had, that you try to think about what you thought about, he knows that thought. So don't think that he don't know. Don't think he don't hear. Don't think he don't see. It can't be hid. So when you come into prayer, you need to voice and repent all the things you can remember in your mind, because the Spirit, once you get that Ruach, it reminds you what you need to repent for, what you need to ask for forgiveness for. It's really easy and simple, really. I made a joke the other day, and it was like I lied in the joke to make the joke funny, and it was a lie. Forgive me for saying that lie. Easy. Your Spirit will remind you. Like, hey, you remember, people call it guilt or whatever. It should feel like that. Anytime you get a thought in your brain, you'd be like, remember you said this 2 minutes ago, or remember you said this a month ago? That's when you should get up, go to the prayer closet, pray, be like, forgive me for saying this. Clear it out. Clear your house out of sin. Anytime your spirit reminds you of something that you've done that you really haven't atoned for, that's when you go pray and say, please forgive me for this. It'll go away. You'll stop having the thoughts of this particular thing. You know, when you wake up, it's funny because when you wake up, all your sins are like an ESPN highlight reel or the ESPN top 10. Number 10, threesomes in the club. Number 9, it happens that way. When you wake up, the enemy, the demons that are in your ear try to accuse you. Before you wake up and start walking right, you'll get that. You'll get all your sins come back like a highlight reel. It gives you a 30 for 30. And that's the point of the 30 for 30 sin highlight reel, is to get you to get scared, to give up, to turn back and say, nah, I might as well be sinning because at least I can enjoy these memories. Because when that 30 for 30 highlight reel come, all it does is accuse you. Like, you think he loves you? You did this. You put your hands on this person. You threw glass at this person. You spit at this person. You think you're granted salvation? No, come on back. Come on back to the party. Come hang out with me for a little bit. You can get right in the end. Come on back to the party. That's what it does. Try to convince you that you don't need salvation. That it's more hurtful to walk right than to walk wicked. Verse 61. He made man and put his heart in the midst of the body and gave him breath, life, and understanding. And yeah, and the Ruach El Shaddai, which made all things and searches out all hidden things and secrets of the earth, surely he knows your inventions and what ye think in your hearts, even them that sin and would hide their sin. Therefore has Yahuwah exactly searched out all of your works, and he will put you all to shame. And when your sins are brought forth, ye shall be ashamed before men, and your own sins shall be your accusers in that day. So when the plagues hit, when judgment hit, when wrath hit, all you're going to remember is the things you did not atone for, the things you did not repent for, crack you. So if you on the top of a car twerking, or if you're in public twerking, if you're showing skin shots, all of it is going to be lined up to send you right into a pit. You may think, like I said before, if you are a person that's going 50 miles per hour, dibbling, dabbling in sin, dibbling, dabbling in wickedness, and pulling back and trying to be in the middle, you try not to be on the right lane or the left lane, you try to ride in the middle, I'm telling you, there's a place of a pit that's destined, that had that destination on it. The pit, you still heading the same way. You may not go as fast as the right lane, you may not be going as slow as the left lane, but if you're in that middle, you're still going into the pit. Your sins will accuse you. Now it could be long suffering. It could just be on your back and getting heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier until you be like, all right, I'm done doing this. I'm done now. I'm ready to get right. Because it'll feel like a weight. See, people who, like me, people who go 100 miles per hour with wickedness, you'll crash. You'll hit rock bottom hard. And then you feel like, oh, I survived. Then you want to go again. And to the point where you do it so fast and so hard, eventually your breakthrough will happen at the most traumatic emotional time. You'll drop to your knees, cry, bawl your eyes out, just like I did. I was going fast. I was hitting walls until the last wall I couldn't overcome. And I dropped to my knees and bawled my eyes out. Most of you, it's going to just feel like a weight on your chest. You won't know why you feel the way you feel. You won't understand it totally. But the heavier it gets, the more your mind and your spirit will remind you where you are in wickedness, where you are in your walk. What will ye do? Or how will you hide your sins before Elohim and his angels? We completely forget that angels and demons are watching us right now. As I'm doing this podcast, there could be an angel looking at me right now. There could be four or five demons outside my hedge because I'm not sinning. So I like to think that I have a hedge about me that keeps me away from certain demonic activity. So they're at the gate of the hedge, waiting for me to slip, foaming at the mouth, grinning, waiting for me to fall. Behold, Elohim himself is the judge. Fear him, leave off from your sins, and forget your iniquities, to meddle no more with them forever. So shall Elohim lead you forth and deliver you from all trouble. That's it. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's not like he's going to make you work hard to come back to him. Once you turn, he'll turn to you. Simple. Very simplistic. To serve the Most High is really not difficult. It really isn't. Yet, people's self-righteousness and people's wickedness keeps their spirit away from this truth. All you gotta do is improve a little bit each time. I told people about the calendar for a year. I was living under the calendar for a couple of months before I introduced it. Yet, people still bring me new calendars. The guy that I had that sent you guys the website has created all these videos debunking all these other Enoch calendars that have came out. He has given more understanding and more knowledge about scripture and that calendar than I could have. That's why I send you to this guy. Yet, people still feel the need to tell me I found this calendar. I found this thing. Who are you trying to prove wrong? I sent you to, if you got an Instagram, go do your work and try to prove why Vanderland's calendar and the calendar you found don't equate. You go through that. Do that. I'm not going to do that with you. I told you the information. It is your job to go through the information yourselves. Oh, no. See, this person told me about this calendar, and now they're going to send it to me. I don't want to see it. I did the work. I did the understanding. I poured through the scripture. It's your job to convince yourself what you follow is fact or not. Not me. For behold, the burning wrath of a great multitude is kindled over you, and they shall take away a certain of you and feed you, being idle, with things offered unto idols. So, if they take away some of you, like it says in Revelation, the devil may take you and put you in jail for 10 days. Now, if you're being idle, which means, like I said, if you're in between, and if you're not on the right lane, you're not on the left lane, you're not fast, you're not slow, and you're in the middle, you're being idle. So if you're not doing anything, which is why I said, if your faith is just being on that couch, not doing nothing but watching TV, and you said, oh, this is my faith. I have faith. I don't need to do works. I just got faith. If you're doing that, being idle, you're going to be offered things offered unto idols. Now, if you go to the book, you go to the Maccabean Revolt, the book of Maccabees, go through the book of Maccabees at the time of the revolt, and you will see that they have put people in a big frying pan and boil them to death because they wouldn't eat pig. When the Macedonians and Greeks came in to destroy Jerusalem, they tore up all the temples and wanted the Israelites because they knew that one rule of the Torah said, do not eat pig. Do not eat an unclean animal. So Rome made what? The pig, one of their top feast priorities is to sacrifice a pig. Egypt, it was a bull. Rome and Greek, pigs. Which is a metaphor how this nation actually is. Pigs. A silk hat on a pig or a lipstick on a pig comes from Rome and Greek. Greece. And what they did at their feast to sacrifice unto their idols was pig. So what do y'all think y'all doing now? Being idle, eating pork, eating bacon, bacon wrapped shrimp, bacon cheeseburgers, barbecue spare ribs. What do you think you're doing? Being idle, because you definitely aren't reading scriptures that said do not eat unclean animals. You basically eating foods that have been offered to idols before. Since you don't want to stop eating fast food, you don't know where that junk food comes from. And every day we're getting closer and closer to Soylent Green. I've seen a New York Times article that's talking about cannibalism. That it's good to talk about it now. That people are ready to talk about cannibalism. Why do you think they pre-programmed you with spirit cooking? Celebrities doing mock cannibalism dinners. That means they have already put it in the food. What do you think they do? Just put all these fetuses that they get from abortions and just throw them in the garbage and put it in like bio waste? Y'all need to go and hear that radio interview with A.B. Finkelstein. That they don't want to admit that this interview took place. They keep saying it's anti-Semitic. They keep saying it wasn't real. They keep saying that his accent wasn't true. But why would somebody do a radio interview with a random guy who wanted to talk as if he was Jewish and talk about all these atrocities, talk about using the fetuses from these pregnancies, these miscarriages and abortions, and chopping them up and putting them into foods like McDonald's? Like, why would somebody want to make that up? I mean, the interview is like almost like an hour long or like 45 minutes, I think. Look it up. But if you go through if you look up the news articles, they have found body parts in Asian McDonald's. They have found body parts in fast food places before, but people too stupid and blind and think, oh, it's just a one-time thing. None of you own or none of you actually go to the plant where they make these foods, where they make these burgers, where they make these nuggets. You don't know what they putting in them. If Satan is the father of lies, how much lies have he actually told? We are just now finding out that Skittles is toxic because of titanium oxide. Some of us have lived our whole entire lives eating Skittles. Fam, I would get the Skittles. You know how you shake them in your hand like you shaking the craps table? Like you had the crap Skittles shaking dice? That's how I used to eat my Skittles. Rattle them in my hand like I'm shaking a 7-Eleven. A hard 8. That used to be my thing, a hard 8. But they have so many flavors. Wild berry, the rainbow kind, the sorbet kind, the kind with mixed match colors. Oh, the blue bag, the purple bag, the light blue. All of them. I would get up in the middle of the night. Yes, 11 o'clock at night and go to the gas station to go get Skittles. Love Skittles. But to find out it's toxic. So what else you think they putting in food that we don't know? And they that consent unto them shall be had in derision and in reproach and trodden underfoot. For there shall be in every place and in the next cities a great insurrection upon those that fear Yahuwah. I don't know. I think they added this word insurrection. Because this word insurrection wasn't really used until January 6th. So like I said, they take it and put it away and retranslating scripture to make it more modern. Not necessarily a bad thing, but once you read scripture, it's words that really don't make no sense. It really doesn't make a never mind if they use insurrection or anything else. It's just what it is. They didn't change the whole book. They didn't change the whole, you know, all of the scripture's meaning. They just using different words to make it modern. They shall be like madmen, sparing none, but still spoiling and destroying those that fear Yahuwah. So get ready, buckle up. Even those who are righteous, even those who are in this Torah, we will be tested. If you remember Dark Knight, when the Dark Knight Rises, what happened when Bane took over the city and said the people need to hold courts. And the courts of the people were judging those. They were just sentencing. People were already guilty. And they were throwing what? They were throwing the rich. They were throwing people out of their houses and spoiling their goods, spoiling their houses, while they threw the people who lived in them outside. It's going to happen. They wouldn't put it in these movies if it was going... They predict the program that it's going to happen. People are already stealing in stores. Now, when you don't want to get caught stealing in a store because there's cameras, where do you think they're going to want to steal next? People who got stuff. People who go to work and leave their houses open, or their security system can be easily dismantled. People who have weapons and knowing you don't have a weapon. It's going to come that time when the have-nots are going to go after the haves. For they shall waste and take away their goods and cast them out of their houses. Then shall they be known who are my chosen, and they shall be tried as the gold in the fire. So in the midst of this confusion, in the midst of this purge, in the midst of this anarchy, you will see and know who Yahuwah has chosen. Now, I don't know what that would look like. It could look like in one neighborhood, it'd be one house not getting touched, all houses getting touched. It could look like one family who follow the Torah is immune to all of the wickedness and madness that everybody else is enduring. When the plagues show up, when the hornets show up and stinging everybody for 5 months, and there's other people that's not being stung, that's who you will know who is the chosen. Hear, O ye, my beloved, says Yahuwah. Behold, the days of trouble are at hand, but I will deliver you from the same. I love when y'all get to talking, he get to throwing the metaphors out, he get to giving you questions, that the rhetorical questions that don't need no answers. And then at the bottom of these chapters, he makes you feel good. He gives you hope. He gives you mercy. He gives you grace. Because in this whole chapter, in 4th book of Ezra, chapter 16, he go ham for the first, I would say, 70 verses. He go ham. But he tell us, be ye not afraid, neither doubt, for Elohim is your guide, and the guide of them who guard my commandments and precepts, says Yahuwah Elohim, let not your sins weigh you down, and let not your iniquities lift themselves up. Woe be unto them that are bound with their sins and covered with their iniquities, like as a field is covered over with bushes and the path thereof covered with thorns, that no man may travel through. It is left undressed and is cast into the fire to be consumed therewith. Tares will grow up out of the concrete. The wheat will be headed to the barn. The tear will be headed to the fire. Simple as that. Very basic, very simplistic. What gets in your way is your own vanity, your own self-righteousness, and doing it your way. While I'm gone, if I were you, I would be reading the book of Ezra and the book of Baruch. I would learn those two books, very important for these end times. And what you should do, because we have what? We have the fast of the fifth month, because under the Enochian calendar, the fifth month fast is coming up. What you should do also in this month, or whenever you could do whatever month, is to try, I would call it the Ezra and the Baruch challenge. Try to, especially Baruch, try to do the fast of Baruch. I tried to do it, I almost fainted. Baruch's fast was, he was told not to eat or drink anything for like 7 days. I tried to go, literally y'all, I got to 6 days of no water and no food. I was delirious. My soul was to the surface. And I folded on the sixth day because I was getting kidney pains for not having any water. I felt like I got scared and thought, my kidneys were shut down for the pains because I couldn't sleep. And I cheated and had a sip of water, but I continued with the fast. The best part is if you fall or if you do a fast and you accidentally eat or you accidentally drink, just go repent and just still continue the fast. Don't give up and say, oh, I got to start over again. No, don't do that. Just forgive yourself and continue. The Most High will work with you. He understands what you're trying to do. It's not cut. I know a lot of you think, oh, once you come to the truth, it's cut and dry. It's black and white. It's extreme. It's either you do it or you don't do it. It's a building process. He knows he has to purge this world out of us. None of us just stopped cold turkey. None of us did. You keep pushing. Even when you fail, you keep pushing forward. You keep pushing forward. Don't get disheartened. If you don't understand something at the point of it is happening to you, do not get discouraged. The understanding will be found in your patience. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with the Ruach. That is the only way you could do this walk. Some of you are so used to social media and these 15-second TikToks and these 6-second Vines and these 15-minute videos. You're so used to, if you don't get the information and understanding in 10 minutes, you throw it out the window and you just move on. That ain't how it's going to work. It's supposed to be, it has to be built up in you. Trust me, if it could be easily digested like a TikTok video, everybody would do it already. Everybody would manipulate it already. But the reason why when you read the apocryphal books, the books that were taken out, the more you read these books, you understand patience. And no one has patience like Yahuwah. I can't tell you, should read how many times the Israelites went into slavery for the same exact thing, to we now being the children who do not want to go into slavery again, who do not want to transgress the Torah. Now we are holding fast. We're doing a lot better than our ancestors and our forefathers have done. Yeah, it's only been maybe, 2 or 3 years that we came into this awakening, but we have the knowledge and understanding of what our forefathers and ancestors did, so we do not make the same mistakes. I mean, it was like, granted, it was like 70 or 80 years in between them going into captivity, but they kept going back for the same things, and that was worshiping another god before the God of Israel. So, in the end, do the fast, learn the calendar, the information is there. I shouldn't have to tell you or convince you or prove to you again of what calendar you should be on. Vanderland's calendar, he posts the information, he posts scripture with it, and he posts debating the other calendars that people have found. Now, the reason why the moon phases are different from his calendar because he's using Jerusalem as the focal point. And Jerusalem, even though it's the fake Jerusalem, is still, I think, the moon that is closest to the African Jerusalem, the South African Jerusalem. It would be the same moon that they would look like there, not here. I'm not focusing on, see, when I leave this place, my mind is literally in spiritually and mentally in Goshen. I'm in Goshen. I'm not in Egypt. So my mind is focused on not being here. Regardless if say like the worst case scenario, if the plagues or if I'm somehow caught up in the famine and destruction, at least my brain is on me being on the second Exodus. If it's trapped here, at least I can go down saying that I was never part of this American society. I was never part of its calendar, and I'm not a part of its moons, its moon phases. Everything for me is on the second Exodus and my way back home, my true home, my inheritance. That's where my mind is focused on. Your brain should be focused on things that are not in this country. Your brain should be focused on a different kingdom, which is literally not anywhere here. Or if you're from another country or where or what have you, wherever you are at, stop. Don't focus on where you are at. Focus on where you need to be, and it's not here. This is not your kingdom. Like Yahuwah says, all this wickedness, all this foolishness, all these psyops, all these rituals, all this numerology and gematria, it's all going to be gone. What you know is your country is going to be gone. The city's desolate. There is no more, oh, this is my favorite restaurant down the street. There is no more, this is my favorite night spot. This is my favorite dive bar. It's gone. Start living as if all of it's gone. Focus on the kingdom at hand as much as you can. I get it. Most of you, you have to work. I get it. You have to, like I said before in the early parts of this podcast, Some of you have to go to work with these fools. You got to go to work with stupidity. You have to be around these people. You have to interact with them. I get it. I feel for you. So you literally can't detach yourself from this reality. I get it. I understand. Do the best you can with what you can, with what you have. All right? This is a much needed break. Things are going to start heating up. I'm telling you, when it comes to fall, when it comes to election time, guarantee it's going to turn up. There's going to be more mass shootings. They're already programmed it with pink and black all the way through the summer. There's going to be more mass shootings, and there's going to be more turn up over gay marriage. There's going to be more turn up on the monkeypox virus strains. There's going to be more strains coming out. Do not get disheartened. Do not get downtrodden. Do not give up hope. These things have to come about in order for everybody to build this mythical and metaphorical Tower of Babel so the Most High can come through and knock it down. I'll see y'all next episode 3 weeks from now. Peace.